You're listening to local programming produced in KUNV Studios.
The content of this program does not reflect the views or opinions of 91.5 Jazz and More, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, or the Board of Regents of the Nevada System of Higher Education.
This is Talking with the Pros.
The Pros.
Like professionals.
This is Talking with the Pros with me, Jess B. I speak to the professionals in the world of audio to gain an insight into what it takes to become a pro.
Talking with the Pros, we're going to dive into the basics of audio engineering. From a professional stance, Polly's going to walk us through what it takes when one approaches audio for the first time and what is really necessary to know going into this world of audio. Polly, I know you have a lot of points you want to talk on. Walk us through it.
For those of you that are interested in audio equipment, buying a microphone, going to Guitar Center, and getting a speaker, or, you know, you want to do something with the mic section, right? You have a guitar that you want to make sound good. You have a microphone, you're a vocalist, and you want to make that mic sound good. How do you do that? What's the science? What's the technical side of audio? It's a fascinating one, I'll tell you that. Because what it takes is an understanding of what is really going on behind the scenes of audio, specifically in an audio console or a computer console, all right? Digital audio workstation. So depending on your application of that, understanding like, hey, I want to make an album, or I want to make a song. You want to make that song sound really good. There's a whole method going in that you're mindful of before you even get there. Before you even integrate yourself with the gear, there's a certain mindset. The way that works, you have the source material. Now, the source material is the material that is not, it doesn't even have anything to do with the gear. It has to do all with what's
the
produced.
Talent?
Exactly. Yeah. So the talent, the instrument that you're using, right? Is it a good quality instrument, or are you a good speaker? Number one, are you somebody that can get a point across, right? Or sing with skill? So it's all about raw talent. The early days of capturing audio were totally analog. There was no form of, you know, digital or anything like that. It was all about acoustics. When you go into a space and you listen to an orchestra back in the day, they built that entire space specifically for audio.
Acoustics. The environment.
So you go into a cathedral, you'd go into a stadium, you'd go into an opera house. It was all about amplifying the human voice. I have an experience where I went to Saragossa, Spain. I was in a college where Einstein actually showed up and gave a lecture. And when I stood on the stage, I was shocked. I felt like my voice was already naturally like louder.
Was it booming?
Yeah, it was boomy. I was able to talk in a normal speaking voice like this.
And then did it reflect back to you?
It would, but I could feel the whole room built a certain way so that I could be heard in the back of the room. It felt like my voice was amplified.
Wow.
Like right now, as I'm recording this podcast with you, excuse me, as I'm recording this radio show with you, I am talking through a microphone. That mic is going into an audio console and it's coming back out through headphones. In my head, I can hear my own voice. That amplification can happen naturally when you build a space around it, right? So we don't necessarily need, you know, audio equipment to get a point across, right? But we live in the digital age. We live in an age where we're listening to content on our phones and we're, you know, listening to the radio.
But also, different venues lend to different applications or multi-applications. So rooms aren't necessarily built for specifically hearing a music orchestra or a speaker coming up on the stage. These rooms are like multi-purposed.
Right.
So they're not really putting into like the engineering part for this room. It's more nowadays the audio engineer has to now approach a room and work with the room versus the room working with said talent.
Exactly. So let's say you're somebody listening right now and you just got your first microphone. You got your first instrument. You're
from Sweetwater.com.
Yeah, from Sweetwater.
Not sponsored.
Or you're somebody that is interested in becoming an audio professional, right? And you're interested in working in this field. The skill set required is nothing other than using mostly your ear to operate the gear. It's not the gear, it's the ear.
I like that.
Now, the gear is extremely important, right? To aggregate our signal, our source, right? We're the source of the signal, or the talent is the source of the signal, but we need to get that to the end user, okay? So really, what are we mixing? What is the role of an audio engineer? The role of an audio engineer is not to mix the audio with using gear, using consoles, using all of this stuff in between the signal. It's all about how can I get from me to you, or get the talent to you. That's all it is. If you think about it like that, it'll simplify the process of getting into the gear. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, because it's more reliant on approaching it through the lens of what am I working with today as an audio engineer? What am I going to be getting? What do I need to put out? So knowing we're going to have one person on the microphone, a singer, we're going to have to set up the drum kit and take that source. And then we have plugins. We have the electric guitar coming in, and we have other electrical instruments. And then those things are the source material.
Mm-hmm. When you watch an orchestra concert, the sound engineer is the conductor, because the conductor is physically with his hands dynamically controlling human beings and telling them to come up, turn up, turn down, bring this section in, bring this in. And he's mixing the entire show just with his hands.
Right. I never thought of it like that.
He can't even say anything during the show. It's all quiet. It's all visually, right? Mm. So that's the essence of an audio engineer, but you're doing it with digital equipment or analog equipment. It's so cool, right? You're a conductor. You think in the mind of somebody, how can I make this mix audible so people can understand it, understand the speech, understand the singing, and also quality, the sound quality. How can I feel the energy and the vibe of this mix, right? Right now, we're talking through SM7 microphones. So to a trained ear, you could probably tell maybe. But also, how is the listener hearing us right now? They're hearing us through a car system or a home theater system, or maybe their AirPods, their phone. And what's awesome about this is all of this stuff going in between is eventually just getting to another human being. So if you just think the, like, source material to end user, our job as audio professionals is getting all the stuff in between.
Right.
Making that happen.
Right. And that includes the console, the wires, and even the speaker system within an environment.
Exactly. You don't necessarily know, as a casual listeners or people, just normal people that are not engineers, they don't know what's really going on. They don't really think, oh, there's a speaker there, or oh, there's a, they just walk into a space.
And the room is shot, right? So shooting those speakers in a certain way where it's balanced and bringing in like subs.
They just go, oh, this is cool. What is this? And the air changes, right? We're, air is moving in a certain way with, you know, live sound systems, studio systems, and systems, you know, even with casual listening, like from our phone, where our phone is, right? Alarm systems, even, whatever. There's so many different ways to get into this industry. There's so many different facets. But ultimately, it's that simple, just getting from one point to the other. That is done with a very simple concept in audio: inputs, and outputs. That's it. If you can think about audio as inputs and outputs, you can understand what's happening in your workstation. If you're using Pro Tools, Ableton, if you're using a very expensive multi-million dollar console, well, if you're using they're not like multi-million dollar consoles. There's not like super, super, super expensive. There are, like in recording studios, there are, but a majority of them are like in the half, whatever. Tangent. Okay, so.
This is expensive gear, by the way.
It gets expensive. Thousands of dollars. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like hundreds of, it can get into hundreds of thousands. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, whether you're in your garage with a microphone, a speaker, and a little tiny $200 mixer versus an entire production in a stadium, the concepts are the same. Mm. Inputs and outputs. If you know how to take something from the source and get it to the end user, that is the process of understanding inputs and outputs. Where is it starting and where is it going? Similar to plumbing. Where is the water starting? Where is it coming from? It's coming from the main line. Okay, now the water's coming from the main line. So I need to now route it to sinks. I need to get it through the house or to an apartment building and get it to a sink on the fifth floor, right? So if you think about an audio mixer and an audio professional, their skill set is defined by how much they can really tolerate with inputs and outputs. It's like, how can you route it and how good are you at doing that inside of an audio console? Taking the in, going to the out, and can you make it sound good when it comes out?
And what do you mean by tolerate?
By tolerate? Tolerating the stress, because sometimes there's... You can have...
Like, literally tolerating all... Maybe managing, right?
Right.
And balancing all of those inputs coming in.
Exactly. Right. You could have one input coming in. Mm. One channel of audio coming in. But it's going to thousands of outputs throughout a whole matrix. For example, here at 91.5... there is an entire array of rooms, right? Recording rooms, broadcasting rooms, but we can go on air at any point in any room right now if we wanted to at the flick of a switch. And it's really interesting because that concept of input and output, you can just, if you really, really get good at understanding those things, you can mix a lot. And just you in other words, you can go as far as you want in your career. You can it's about how much you can tolerate, really, right? And that goes for careers too. The more stress that you can handle in your career, the higher the income will be in your job,
right? So to talk about the different channels, different systems, they're multifaceted. You can put them in different slots. Like, that's the new upcoming technology that we have here. And on different consoles for audio, you can switch a channel and then put them where you want them so that your workflow and your tolerance can be managed.
Exactly. Simplifying it is the key to success in audio. You simplify the process of something coming in and something going out, the better you will be at your job, especially when you have to do it in a professional setting. In a professional setting, there's no room for, hey, can we make this happen? And is this going to take... Yes, there are technical difficulties and things happen where you have to address it. But ultimately, when someone's paying for it, right? It's important to get that content out.
Yeah. And that you were mentioning that something that sparked the reason for sound checks. So the technical issues that can be really honed in during a rehearsal and then setting up your workflow. So then on the night of the performance or in a couple of hours from then, you can know exactly how you want to set up your workflow so you can have those tolerance and work easily and mitigate any issues and be able to approach it smoothly.
Exactly. I made a comparison that it's similar to a commercial pilot in a sense because we got a lot of fancy gear in front of us. There's a lot of fancy lights in front of an audio console.
There's a lot of knobs.
Yeah, it looks really, really fancy, right?
A lot of lights.
A lot of lights. So it looks like we're behind a freaking airplane cockpit, right? Sure. But it's not as stressful as a shout out to commercial pilots. Like, that's a real stressful job because you have lives on the line. That there's actual life or death involved in your decision making. Here, it's just, you know, someone has a $1 million show, and if you mess that up, you will never get called back again. Or the people that really need to hear a certain message, they're not getting it. That's still stressful. It's just, you just have to know how to manage that. That it's what you can tolerate. I was using the plumbing analogy, right? Routing plumbing for a small 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, right? Versus an entire apartment complex. That's the skill set. If you think about audio engineering that way, that, hey, I'm the engineer that can do smaller venues with smaller gear, great. But then the complexities of, you know, a huge apartment, right? That's the bigger consoles. Those are bigger inputs, bigger sample, larger sample rates. I mean, just
more channels.
Exactly.
To manage and more inputs to manage and
right.
outputs.
And your skill set required. But all it is inputs and outs. Inputs and outputs. That's all it is. So we can get into microphones a little bit. We can get into source material. Let's start at the source and then let's get to the end user. How about that?
Okay.
So the start of a signal is the source. And if you make the source sound good, your mix or your experience making something sound good is going to be so much easier. So as long as you sound good from the very beginning, like you tell me right now for this show, you know, fist away from the mic, right? Where I'm talking into the mic versus really close versus far away over here, that makes a huge difference. This is the source material. Like all that, right? So once you have the source sounding good, that source needs to get captured. You can use a microphone. You could use a certain cable that goes to it, right? We're human beings, so we need a microphone. But guitar strings need pickups. Those pickups then go out to a little control device, known as like a volume knob, right? Gain knob on the guitar. Mm-hmm. And that regulates how much voltage. Think of faders and gain knobs, anything that is an amplifier. Think of it as a dimmer switch on a light, you know, in your house. Like if you can dim the lights, turn the lights up, turn the lights down. You're just giving more voltage to that or taking away. Turning it off is no voltage at all. And then you're just adding voltage the more you, right? So that's what a fader is. That's what amplifiers do. They add and take away signal. Okay, how does that apply to a microphone, let's say? So me talking into this mic, it's going through, I'm speaking.
The source material.
Right. The diaphragm of the microphone is picking up the sound waves through the range of human hearing, which is 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz of actual sound waves. So that's the range of human hearing, and it's going through a wire, and that wire is ending up somewhere, right? Where that wire is plugged in is potentially, you know, it could be a speaker if you wanted to, and then like, how would you add amplification to that signal, right? How do you get, it's called a preamp. So you have a microphone preamp, okay? Now, every console has either digital trim or a preamp in it. And you add voltage to the device to give it life, to give it, you know, signal, right? So the job of the audio engineer, once you understand the basics of fundamentals of audio, right? It's knowing how to mix and regulate voltage. Really. We're electricians, but we're doing it creatively. It's a creative decision. Most of it is creative and a lot, and it's just mixed with technical.
Would you say that as an audio engineer, it's almost as vital as having, like, I've read a book. Sorry. I've read the book on audio engineering, like the book. Okay. I don't know if you know it.
The book.
So it talked about having a golden ear. Now, do you think that's also as important as the source material and knowing all of the technical ins and outs of your board, being able to add voltage, but even having that ear?
So the ear is the most important. Mm-hmm. At the same time, It is also, I said earlier, it's not the gear, it's the ear, but you can't do it without the gear. Mm-hmm. Can't really do it. Like, I cannot amplify my voice in an acoustic space if the space is not built to boost my acoustics, right? So it's a complement, right? But you use those. So the reason why I'm going through the signal chain to the end user is understanding how to regulate voltage so that way it's not, you know, impeded during the process. So the more open you have the signal chain, the better. There's a term in audio called unity. And if you notice on all of your audio consoles, on even in your audio software, there's this thing. It's a zero. That zero indicates open, right?
Is it sometimes in like an infinity symbol?
No. Mm. So the infinity is just there's no signal. It's just dead. Mm-hmm. Infinity means there's just no signal going to it. Mm-hmm. I really don't know the reasoning why there's an infinity symbol. Should ask, I guess. Maybe the. But
I liked how you touched on even the pickups on an instrument and knowing those things and those technicals and going back to the source material and having what I like to emphasize is the golden ear and how all of those things really complement but are all like important to know
right
and have.
Exactly. So understanding the technical aspects of audio is crucial to getting the right result with your ear. Because you could be hearing something. Oh, this mix sounds pretty good. I like it. It sounds nice. And then you look at your gear and it's all clipping. It's all distorting. And you have no idea what's happening.
Because louder equals better.
Right. Hmm. So there's a complement between the gear and the ear. Ultimately, it is the ear at the end if you really need to get a result really quickly. But having a better technical understanding will make the mixing process much easier for you. And so it will take the stress off of you. The more simple you can make the process, the better. And the simplest way I can explain it is as the mic. So I'm talking to a mic. My voice is going down a wire and coming into an audio console, going into a router. Specifically, and mixer, router, whatever. As it comes in, it has an amplifier that's sent to it, right? Well, that signal in the console needs to go out. So now we covered the input. That's the basics of an input, right there. After an input, it has to go out, and when you send it out,
bye.
Exactly. Did you know that you can turn any microphone or any speaker into the opposite? So what I'm saying is I can turn a microphone into a speaker if I really wanted to.
Wow.
I could turn a microphone into a speaker. Did I say those? I don't know if I said those. Like, it's kind of like funny. Like, I can turn a speaker into a microphone and a microphone into a speaker.
Okay.
Because they're actually the same thing. Mm-hmm. If you look at a diaphragm on a microphone, mm-hmm. it's a speaker. If you look at a speaker, the design of it is a microphone. Mm-hmm. They're okay. kind of the same. They work through a process called electromagnetic induction, which is the process of a magnet, a positive and negative magnet going through a coil. And that coil pushes sound waves out and or captures sound waves. So how you route the signal, the polarity, and how you just hook it up, that the electronics inside dictates how it's dictates the application of that. Yeah, I'm not an electrician, but I know a little bit of that. So, And now on the output side, right? Getting to the speaker, knowing the way that the speaker sounds, right, is different from the mic. Knowing the application of the output, are we in a stadium with two huge line arrays, or are we in our house with studio monitors or our headphones, right? So from the audio console, from the output, this microphone is going to an output. The output is going now to headphone amps, to a recorder that's recording our show, and we're able to hear everything. And that's audio.
Wow, mind blown. I mean, I love knowing the ins and outs and those details. And I know there's so much more that goes into audio engineering. Being an audio professional where you're coming from, but just what you walk into and being an audio engineer, when you walk up day one, you have a board, you have people on a stage. Okay, what do I do? What is this thing? You got to know the beginnings, the origin story, if you will, of audio. So thank you for that wrap.
Input? Holly? Yeah. Inputs and outputs.
Love it.
All audio is inputs and outputs.
It's just inputs and outputs, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I loved hearing about all of that. So this has been.
We can actually, on another show.
Yeah.
We can then talk about how to mix those inputs and outputs.
Right.
How to make those inputs and outputs sound good.
EQ, gain staging.
Yeah.
Those things. Love it. I want a whole dictionary here at the end for our show. Audio professionals. Bye.
Bye.
I want to thank you so much for tuning in. And if you missed any of today's episode, you can find us anywhere podcasts are available, like Spotify, Google, and Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening to today's episode of Talking with the Pros with me, Jess B. I love you, and I'll catch you in the next one. Bye.